So last week we looked at the Beatitude, in which Jesus says, the very first Beatitude, Jesus says, blessed are the poor and those who are poor in spirit. And part of what we talked about is when people make top five lists of people who are blessed, of those who are blessed, the poor don't show up on our list. And yet there they are, the very first ones who were mentioned by Jesus. Now, thankfully, this week, we get to one, a group of people that everyone's lining up to be a part of, right? Those who mourn. Jesus knows how to pick them in this list. Jesus, we want to learn more about what it means to be blessed. Can you teach us? Absolutely. Behind door number one, we've got the poor, those who are desperate, those in need, and the poor in spirit, those who know that they are in need, those who've dropped the pretense of self-sufficiency. But behind door number two, we've got the mourners, those in despair, those who are grieving. And we think to ourselves, is there a door number three? Is there something else we can do to be blessed? Here's the thing about the way that the Beatitudes start. Jesus is declaring blessings for people who are in situations that they do not necessarily choose. Most people don't choose poverty. And most people don't choose mourning. Mourning is just a part of life. That's what Ecclesiastes 3 reminds us. Do you remember? There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the sun. There is a time to be born, and there is also a time to die. There's a time to laugh, and there's a time to weep. There is a time to dance, and a lot of us miss that memo, but followed up, there is a time to mourn. You don't have to go looking for it. You live long enough, and it will find you. You don't have to choose it. It often chooses you. Life is full of gains and losses. And when we lose, we often mourn. And as I look around the room this morning, I know some of the stories, not all of your stories, but I know your stories. And I know that there is loss represented in this room. Live long enough, and we all lose people that we love. And we all know that's how the story ends, at least part of the story, but it doesn't make the pain or the sense of loss necessarily better. We know that's where we're headed, but there is still grief, and there's pain, and there's heartache, and there's mourning, and some of you are in the midst of that right now, where the loss is fresh. And the mourning is more intense. But even if it has been years or decades since we've lost someone that we're close to, we know there are certain times when those memories and those feelings come to the surface, right? Holidays and birthdays and anniversaries. And we also know that sometimes those feelings catch us off guard. We didn't see it coming. We didn't know it was coming, but there is a trigger. There is a memory. There is an experience, and we are overwhelmed with that sense of absence again and that feeling of loss. But we also know that death by no means is the only place that grief resides. We have a lot of people in here who have struggled with the loss of their marriage. People who have lost other kinds of relationship, a strained relationship with a parent or with your kids, or the loss of a friendship. I've walked with people who have lost jobs. Many of us at times mourn the loss of dreams as the life that we are living is not the life that we imagined. And how many times have you known people who are in grief because they've lost hope? Because what they're going through, they start to wonder, is that as good as it's going to be? Is there a light at the end of this tunnel? Is there a corner that I can eventually turn? And to you, in your times of loss, in your seasons of grief, in those days of mourning, Jesus has a word to you. Blessings. Blessings. Blessings to you who find yourself in a season of mourning. Because God is a God of comfort. Now, this is a promise that comes when the Messiah is prophesied, that the Messiah coming, he comes to bring comfort to his people. We read last week where Jesus quotes from Isaiah 61 when he preaches his first sermon in Luke 4. And you remember the first part, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor," beatitude number one. "He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion." And I find this promise to comfort those who mourn profound, both for what Jesus says and also for what he does not say. Because this is not a promise that all pain is eradicated, that all problems are eliminated, that all loss is replaced. It's not a promise when Jesus promises to comfort those who mourn to whisk us away from our world of pain and grief. What it is a promise, first and foremost, is that you will not be overlooked or unheard or forgotten. One of my favorite passages in Scripture comes from Exodus chapter 2. The people of Israel are in Egypt. And how they got there started out as a good thing, because in the midst of a region-wide famine, the people of Israel go to Egypt because there's food there, there's provision there. Joseph has risen to near the top. And they will be provided for, and they will be protected. And they go there, and they flourish as a people. And they grow in number, and they grow in strength, and they grow in wealth. But if you remember the story, over time, the people of Israel, or the people of Egypt, forgot why the people of Israel were there. And the leaders that rose to the top, and the pharaohs, they forgot about Joseph and all he had done. And now what they see is a massive people and a mighty people and a foreign people among them, and they are afraid. And so Egypt enslaves Israel, and it is a bitter slavery. And in the midst of their slavery, they cry out to God. And this is what Exodus 2:23 says. The Israelites groaned in their slavery, and they cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. So many times people in grief feel alone, and their grief is magnified because they feel forgotten or unheard or unseen. And yet this is not the case with God. Those who mourn will be comforted because God hears. He hears our cries. God sees. He sees our tears. God remembers. He remembers His promises for His people. And God acts in love. And yet there's more to Jesus' assurance than just that those who mourn will be comforted. Jesus shows us that the God who is for us in our grief is also the God who is with us in our grief. He is beside us in the midst of those times of pain and disillusionment and doubt. And I want to show you a video clip. This is a news clip that happened about a year ago. It's an amazing story, and the clip sets it up well enough, so I'll just let it do the job for us. Let's watch together.
Sometimes the best way to help someone who has fallen into a hole is not to throw them a rope, but to climb in. Steve Hartman learned this on the road.
Inside the county courthouse in Fayetteville, North Carolina, Judge Lou Oliveira made headlines with an unusual decision.
You may be seated.
A few years ago, Joe Cerna was arrested for drunk driving. As part of his probation, he wasn't allowed to drink. So when he lied about a recent urine test, the judge felt he had no choice.
I gave Joe a night in jail because he had to be held accountable.
It was just one night, but as he entered the cell, Joe says he knew it would be one of the longest nights of his life.
When I walked into the jail cell and they closed the door behind me, I started feeling this anxiety.
It came back?
It came back, a flashback.
Retired Army Sergeant First Class Joe Cerna did 3 tours in Afghanistan and has 2 Purple Hearts to show for it. The Green Beret survived an IED and a suicide bomber. But he says his scariest moment was the night he was riding in a truck with 3 other soldiers.
What happened?
We were following the creek, and the road gave way. And the vehicle went in the creek.
Truck started filling with water?
Yeah. All hope was lost.
Trapped and unable to move, Joe felt the water rising, past his legs, then waist, and neck, until finally it stopped at his chin.
How many guys got out of that truck?
Alive?
Yeah.
Just me. I was a sole survivor.
Joe says it still haunts him.
So I suffer from PTSD.
Among his issues, a fear of being in small, cramped places.
I knew what Joe was going through, and I knew Joe's history, and he had to be held accountable, but I just felt I had to go with him. I felt I had to go with him.
And so, a few minutes after Joe was locked up, Judge Lou Oliveira surprised the man he sent to jail by joining him for the entire night.
We ate meatloaf, and we talked about a lot of things.
We talked about our families.
And the walls got further apart?
The walls just got, they didn't exist anymore. He brought me back to North Carolina from being in a truck in Afghanistan. That meant so much to me, sir.
This week, Joe promised the judge no more mess-ups.
I don't want to let you down, ever.
It's not how law and order usually works.
Right, sir.
But sometimes jail is not what a man needs. Sometimes the best sentence is compassion.
Thank you for breathing me.
Steve Hartman, on the road, in Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Okay, thank you, sir.
And compassion heals.
There's a lot of reasons why I love that story. Joe Cerna had a drinking problem. And he'd also gotten himself into trouble driving while under the influence. And yet, the judge knew that the alcohol was not the only problem. You could also argue wasn't the heart of the problem. Hiding underneath the alcohol was all the PTSD and the anxiety and the fear and the grief And the mourning of being the only one who survived the accident, being the lone survivor of that day. And so as the judge said, he knew that there needed to be a consequence for what Cerna had done. But he needed something more than punishment, right? What he needed was presence. And what he needed was a promise. And the promise was this: you are not alone. And you don't have to go it alone. And you don't have to suffer alone. Because I will be with you. We're told in Psalm 34:8 that the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. When Jesus is preparing his disciples for the time that he's going away, he says, "Don't worry, because as I leave, another is coming. It's the Holy Spirit, the Comforter." God's presence inside you, not just to guide, not just to convict, but to comfort, to draw near during all those times when hope seems lost and when you feel alone. Jesus is revealed as our Emmanuel, our God with us, the one who doesn't just suffer for us, but he suffers with us. He weeps with those who weep. He climbs down into the pit. He walks into the jail of our despair and says, "I am with you through the night, and I'm with you to the end." But there's one more thing I want to point out, one more way we cling to the promise of comfort for those who mourn. It is the comfort that comes from hope, because being Christ followers, we know that does not exempt us from grief. We are not exempt from mourning. And what's more, if we try to imitate Christ and have the compassion of Christ, then we can't help but mourn, because even if we're not going through something difficult, we know we live in a world of difficulty, of grief, of mourning, of sin, of struggle. In fact, the very word compassion means to suffer with. Paul says in Romans 12 that we are those who mourn with others who mourn. We don't just mourn for our own sin and sorrows and struggle. We mourn for a hurting world, for hurting brothers and sisters. We mourn for those in the throes of grief who have been victims of injustice. We mourn for the lonely. We mourn for the abused. But we do not hope, because hope outlasts the pain. We do not lose hope, because hope outlasts the hurt. Hope outlasts the sickness. Hope outlasts death itself. That's what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, that though we grieve, we do not grieve as those without hope. Why? Because we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. So here's the message Jesus brings today. Comfort is here because Jesus is here. And comfort will be complete. Comfort is coming because Jesus is coming. It was summed up beautifully in one of my favorite hymns, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," that we sang a few minutes ago. "Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine and 10,000 beside. Blessings, Jesus says. Blessings, Jesus offers. To all of you who grieve now, hold on to hope. Comfort is coming because Christ is coming. And this is the image of the end, Revelation 21:4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. And that is something to hope for.